So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've seen it. If you really know your wife, if you really know your husband, there was one that said, how well do you know your husband? What's his handicap? So I sent it to my wife, and her answer was 4. Wow. That's what I said.
Jeremy White.
But here's the thing. I ended up with a win either way. She guessed I'm a 4. I am not a 4. But she said, I Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, which means she thinks I'm a good golfer. So I'll take that win.
And Joe DiBiase.
But now she knows that she's wrong.
Well, she doesn't have
from
the right...
her Google search standard, you now have to tell her that I am actually indeed not a good golfer.
I'm not a 4.
She knew what the range of numbers is in the first place, like what it means. Like she would know a low number is better than a high number for this.
That's a good question. She just Googled what's a good golfer's handicap, and then
she
responded
said that's got to be the number.
4.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's cold out there. 4 would represent how many strokes under we finished at the scramble yesterday.
Yes.
4 under at the par for the cause at Holiday Valley to benefit the 11-day power play. Me, Mr. Nate Geary, who's here in place of Joe today. Joe did play with us. And Sal, we shot a 4 under. Respectable.
Did not embarrass ourselves.
Respectable.
Kind of felt like we had Bryson's game.
Yeah, we were bombing you. We're bombing we. We.
You had a couple of bombs.
We didn't use a single one of my drives. Mainly because you were out there Bryson DeChambeauing the ball, smashing the ball, you know.
We're
hitting driver wedge. It was
and I don't know that that's something that normally happens to any of us, and like I know that I was the one hitting those drives, but like when you're freed up in a scramble to just swing as hard as you can, and a lot of them went straight for me.
It worked, yeah. It was great.
I might try that in my normal game. We'll see. But like, I can tell you, I don't know a lot of rounds where I didn't use a regular iron outside of par 3 holes.
Yeah.
Like, we just were driver wedge.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it turned out none of our wedge games were particular. Yours was pretty on.
Well, you know, now that you mention that.
Your wedge game was pretty on.
Yeah. I can hit one club. It's my 56th degree.
And man,
from 40 yards and in. That was about all I could do. But I did that well.
There was a point where, you know, we started. First of all, we started on the worst possible hole to start on.
Yes.
We started on, have you guys played?
If you played the Black Diamond course, there's a par 3 that is 200 yards, but it goes down about 200 yards.
So
you hit it off the top of a mountain.
And it's basically playing a 200-yard shot you play with your 6 or 7 iron.
Yeah, or even less.
If it wasn't 30 degrees.
Yeah, it was cold.
It was very cold.
Nate was battling the elements. He showed up in shorts, and it was cold.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. But yeah, so you know we did the thing, but there was a point, and I know you guys will appreciate this because you both have golfed with Jeremy before. There was a point where Jeremy basically, after hitting a 56 degree, kind of looked at the club and goes, "I was like, I'd like to contribute in another way, but this is good. I mean, we're using this a lot."
Yes, that's right. I put us in a lot of birdie positions for after your bomb drives.
So yeah, if we hadn't bogeyed 2 holes, we'd be right there.
Yeah, you know the. What's the word I'm looking for? Any bogey in a scramble is just like it's the ick.
Yes.
4 of us using all 4 of our best shots still can't par this routine par 4. Brutal.
We, each of us guys, missed 3 feet.
Yeah,
is that?
Probably 3 feet, 2 feet.
Maybe 2 feet. It broke as long as the putt was, that's how much it broke.
It was tough.
So it was tough. Here's what I will say, though, last thing on this, is if you are playing at a scramble at Holiday Valley and you need a fourth, you should get Sal.
Yeah.
Because that course plays, like, for a lefty that cuts the ball, like, there are so many left turns. You just give Sal a call because he was Mr. Steady for us.
Yeah. A grand time was had by all. We did not
Indeed,
win.
It was a great event.
We did not win, which means we did not cheat. I don't know who did win, but they definitely cheated. That's
whoever
how they
won cheated.
Yeah. Whoever won obviously cheated, and since we didn't win, we obviously did not cheat. So we had a great time playing yesterday at Holiday Valley. Scramble season is upon us for everyone out there. Met a lot of cool people. Hope everyone else that was out there with us had a great time. We just kind of made our way around the course. It was cold. It was cold. And today it's cold, right? There was a frost advisory overnight. High today gets back up to 60, but it is currently 38 degrees. That's a cold,
it's chilly,
cold spring morning. Anyway, we'll talk a little about the Leafs coming up at 8:30. Mike DeStefano of TSN at 8:30 to talk about the Leafs. Yesterday, I listened to Bulldog a bit. Mike was off. Mike was also playing in a golf tournament, from what I understand. So yesterday, Bulldog's by himself, and there was a lot of talk about Marner. The Mitch Marner conversation, yes. Which this is one of those things where to do what we do, you say, why would you talk about Marner if the Sabres can't sign him, or you don't think they will sign him? The answer is, well, because we've got about 2 months to talk about him, and then it goes away forever. Maybe you got a couple days to talk about him, whatever. And when a topic is there, go for it. And Marner turned out to be a pretty good one yesterday. I saw, from the reaction I saw online, from watching some comments throughout the show, the Marner idea, Paul came in and made fine points, poo-pooing it like they don't need scoring. We talked to Paul yesterday, and he kind of made the same idea, same point. They don't need scoring. And then again, I guess I saw a number that made me realize, yeah, of course they should sign Mitch Marner, if they could. In a dream world in which they could sign this player because he would agree to play for you, right now the best case we can make for the Sabres to sign Mitch Marner, like why he would do it, the best case we can make so far is he likes the Bills. That is what clinging to.
Yep.
But I was asked a fun question yesterday, and it was, which would be more shocking? The Bills signing Mario Williams or Mitch Marner signing with the Sabres? Which would be more shocking in the moment, Bills and Mario or Marner and the Sabres? And that, ready? Prepare your answer. If you were old enough to remember Mario signing, which would have been in 2012, 2011, it is the source of my Twitter profile picture. That day, me laying on the ground, head in my hands, what's going to happen? Could this possibly happen? The Mario stuff was one of the wrongest things I've ever said or been on about, because I said the Bills had a better chance to win the Super Bowl than sign Mario Williams. And they signed Mario Williams.
Yeah.
Turns out they should have won the Super Bowl instead. Which is more likely? Which would be the bigger shock? Marner for 14 to the Buffalo Sabres versus Mario Williams to the Bills.
Trying not to let recency bias.
What's the recency bias?
That I don't know that a lot of people really remember how
crazy it was.
Vibey. I don't know, 3 days? Was it two or three days?
It was like
a week?
It was 48, 72 hours. Yes. Yeah, he came to town. John Clayton reported he was just leveraging the Bills, and he was headed back to the airport at one point.
Black and Blue was mentioned.
Yes.
There was some.
He came in for a dinner. He also went to dinner with Robert Meacham.
Yes.
Don't forget that. The Bills were after the Saints wide receiver, Robert Meacham.
What a name.
Hey, listen.
Classic drought name right there.
Robert Meacham.
Yeah.
He could have been good.
What
you know,
a classic
drought
name.
He's like a field stretching X kind of guy. He'd be on this team.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not talking about receiver. We're talking about Mario. I'm going to put that poll up. What would be the bigger shock? Marner to the Sabres, Mario to the Bills. Did you ask me that? Did Joe ask me that? Did my wife ask me that? Someone did yesterday. Might have been Joe.
I guess isn't part of the answer to this question answering which team had less juice, the 2012 Bills or this Sabres team? Both were pretty juiceless.
That's in there. There's also which of them is better. Which of them could... I mean, Mario Williams was the number one defensive player to hit the open market. I don't know. If you listed the last...
Ever?
The last 15 years, 20 years, he'd be one of the top 10 guys
in
to
their
hit the
prime.
Market.
Yeah. Yeah. Number one pick
number
in their prime.
Prime defensive end. Like, that guy doesn't hit the market anymore.
No.
And he came to the Bills. And Rodney Harrison on Sunday Night Football said, why would he do that? Must be 100 million reasons to do that. He only did it for the money. And the press conference, we all tuned in to hear him say, there's deers in your backyard. And we're like, that's what you wanted? You just wanted a place where you could have a deer in your backyard? Thank you.
Yes, sweet.
That's great. This is amazing.
Thanks, Orchard Park.
And then, of course, Mario was awesome while he played here.
He was.
Despite the idea that that was a bad signing.
Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah, I think it... What year of the drought is that? 2012?
So, like 10? 10, 11? Not quite as long
not
as
Not quite as long
drought,
as Sabres.
It's established.
Oh, man. The Bills would then go on to have 5 more years of a drought. I think it's Williams.
Is the bigger shock.
I think so.
Okay.
March
15th, 2012.
Could I say, though, that it would be, although it's the bigger shock, I think the bigger upset would be Marner signing with the Sabres. Be a bigger upset.
Okay. You'd be less surprised
but, yes.
on a bigger upset.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You're willing to pick it.
I'm Yes.
I'm interested to hear how this works.
I don't know exactly how it works, but I'm pretty sure that's the whole point. Marner is, I think, going to be a lot of people's answers. Isn't there a little bit because, like, he's from close by. He's leaving the team that most people here hate and is a kind of a bitter rival, even though there really hasn't been much of a rivalry on ice. Actually, there kind of has been. It's so hard for me to not say Mario Williams because I just remember how excited I was. And I don't know, I think the Bills hadn't yet, and the Bills were really good at this. The Bills were good at this, that, and it's something the Sabres aren't good at, which is clock strikes midnight on January 1st, and it's like I completely forgot about the previous season, and I'm locked in on the next season almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this... Fitzy's real. It's his Chan Gailey fit. We are going to turn this thing like every year. It just the clock strikes zero or it, midnight on January 1st, and I'm big back. And I don't feel that way. I haven't felt that way in some time about the Sabres.
Are you saying that the
relevancy of the Sabres right
the
now?
The Bills never felt as hopeless to you?
They certainly felt hopeless.
Okay.
Like,
let's not sugarcoat.
I don't want to sugarcoat the fact that, like, the Bills, but. Maybe it just probably a little of this is the innocence of, I think at this point I'm 18 years old, right? I'm 18, 19 years old when this happens. I'm kind of in the midst of my sports. I'm not as beaten down. I feel so beaten down and exhausted by the Sabres. And is this, I don't know that there's even this move. I don't know that there is a move that like pulls me back into everyday relevance where I think about them more than just like rage thinking about them. You know, that there's just not a lot of like, hey, when you're talking with your friends, it's never really like, hey, the Sabres, let's, it's like, do you want to talk about something else?
Right.
They've just become so worse than irrelevant. Because the Bills were irrelevant, but they were able to sell you.
They're still relevant here.
And they cared to sell you hope. There was genuine care that, like, we need to sell you something. Russ Brandon was really good at just selling you the little bit enough of a hope that you would come back. And I kind of feel like the Sabres have stopped selling me hope.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills, in terms of where they were, you know, let's look at the Sabres in the midst of this drought. Kevin Adams, the GM, the coach is Lindy Ruff. And the owner is Terry Pegula. Back when the Bills were in their drought, it was a different owner for the big chunk of that drought to start. And the GM is, at that time, Buddy Nix. And there's Doug Whaley. And there's Marv Levy in there. The coaches are not as accomplished as Lindy Ruff.
I mean, no.
Like, Lindy, granted, he's a returning coach. But the Bills coaches, Chan Gailey,
Dick Duran. You're getting not just retreads, but guys that probably would not get other jobs anywhere else.
Aren't we, though, getting kind of – the Sabres are reusing the same playbook the Bills used early when Terry Pegula bought the team, which was we're going to sell hope using the coach.
Yeah.
Like Rex Ryan. Whoa.
Accomplished coach.
It didn't work.
Yep.
They get McDermott, and it just worked kind of right away. And the playbook's not working for the hockey team.
I don't know what the playbook is.
Lindy was a little bit of here.
Yeah.
Well, something.
When I think about the Sabres playbook, 803-0550 on this. If you want to chime in on the Marner idea, Marner versus Mario, or the Sabres, you know, what you've got on them, because
I'm surprised so far it's 62-37. Marner
would be
Williams.
A bigger shock, yeah.
Yeah.
It speaks to the state of the Sabres. I mean, the Sabres have tried for the big free agents. They went after Brad Richards and did not get him. You know, it's not like this is a franchise that has been burned by signing bad free agents.
They rarely get the chance.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the biggest free agents they've signed. Last year it's Jason Zucker. That goes very well. And they bring him back. Before that is the big move.
Connor Clifton.
Oh, yeah. $3 million guys.
Yeah.
I want to say those don't even count.
No.
The Sabres have, in fact, I think, had a lot less success on the $1, $2, and $3 million signings that they're just kind of wasting money down there. Before that, it's Oposo, who is $6 to $7 million a year. I mean, it was 6 years, $7 million. And that contract had its own journey from looking really good to looking really terrible to looking really good again. But the Sabres playbook, like what is the Sabres playbook? I'll tell you where I start to think about them a lot. Yesterday, hearing a bunch of, they don't need Marner because they already score goals. They don't need blah, blah, blah. And I have so many flashbacks to the Sabres model treating NHL players as if they are, sorry, that's just not really in our plans.
Mm.
I'll give you the number one name I think about for this is Jacob Chychrun. Jacob Chychrun, the Sabres were reported to be after. He goes from Arizona to Ottawa, doesn't last in Ottawa, and then he's in Washington, signs an 8-year deal for $9 million a year in Washington. And I remember Chychrun like, well, he might be a little old for the window that they're shooting for.
Yeah.
And there were a couple, whatever, doesn't even mean Chychrun is great or has to be. But here is a good team in Washington and a good franchise, and they're like, yeah, we're going to lock him up to a max contract in terms of term. The Sabres, for a couple years, how many years have they been the youngest team in the league? Five?
A lot of them.
They're near the bottom all the time, and they had never really had any veteran presence, and they treated age as if it was a non-starter.
Yep.
That guy's too old for us.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, guys that get moved all over the league, whether that's, I don't know, Claude Giroux went to Ottawa, and that guy's definitely too old for us.
Ottawa is the perfect example of probably who the Sabres should try to be.
Right.
Even though they're not like wildly successful, they have made the playoffs. I mean, they made plays. They make moves all the time. They try. Right? I mean, they took a big swing on the DeBrincat thing. It didn't work.
That's right.
He was gone 2 years later.
They've taken huge swings, and they made the playoffs this year. They make that Cousins trade, you know, because the Norris thing's not working for them, whatever. It's not even about like Giroux and Chychrun specifically, and these are both Ottawa signings. It's the Sabres have had seemingly reasons to say no to full-time real NHL hockey players in the interest of that just doesn't fit this very small narrow window we have to hit. Think about Botterill a lot talking about, well, we've got a plan. It actually goes all the way back to Murray when people are asking Tim Murray to go out and get somebody. He's like, I'm not going to trade a Sam Reinhardt for a rental. Well, nobody thinks you're going to do that, man. Get some NHL players on this team. And with Marner, I mean, you're trying to tell me they shouldn't be interested in this player? They shouldn't want to. Paul brings up a fair point to say they already have enough scoring. But I get to the same spot I do with the Bills to a point. The Bills have some stability in scoring because mm-hmm. Josh Allen exists. But
yeah, they have a very established floor.
Yeah. Josh Allen will hold you up no matter what you do offensively. For the Sabres, like, oh, they finished 10th in scoring. Okay. Would they finish 10th in scoring in the 2025 season? We don't know yet.
Yeah.
They might not finish 10th in scoring. We might have a team that has some regression, and what you need is a $13 million guy who has 100 points in a season. Do you know the last time the Sabres had a 100-point player? Mitch Marner is a 100-point player.
The last time the Sabres had a 100-point player.
Yeah. Anybody want to just toss out a guess here? The last 100-point player for the Buffalo Sabres. What year was it? When was it? Marner with 100 points.
105, 102. Right?
102. 102. He has previously had 99 and 97.
The last
and 94.
100-point player.
The last team high was 95. I'll tell you who 95 is, which Marner has done, you know, four times. And if you count lockout seasons and shortened seasons, he's done a lot more than that too. Like, Marner's been the most productive player, or more productive than literally any Saber in
since
decade.
1980.
In
is it
decades.
LaFontaine?
It's 93.
Okay.
Oh,
last time the Sabres had a 100-point player was 1993.
Okay. It's kind of it's a little bit of go.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Briere had 95, which Marner has had
multiple
basically
times.
Four times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, their offense is fine. Listen, I don't think that they're gonna get him.
Either do I, but I think using that as an excuse. I also think, like, he could probably make two players that he's going to play with even better than they are. Like, if he's playing with Tage Thompson and Zach Benson, what does that do?
Yeah.
I mean, what does 20 extra assists, 25 extra assists on the first line with Tage Thompson do to his goal scoring?
Now, in 93, LaFontaine had 148 and Mogilny had 127. They haven't had a 100-point player since.
There's also a point to be made about the fact that he is a Selke finalist and one of the best penalty killers in the league.
It's really, Owen, you know what? It's funny you bring that up. What percentage of hockey fans, fringe hockey fans, I mean, I say this because I didn't realize this, know that Mitch Marner is not some
goal
freewheeling, loose, offensive Jeff Skinner clone?
Yes.
Right.
He is not that.
No, he's a very different player.
He is a two-way, good defensive, great offensive player.
Isn't a little of that, though, because of Toronto? Because he plays for the Maple Leafs, that there just is a reputation that they don't play defense, especially at the forward position?
Right. I think that Marner and Matthews both have, for a couple of years now, been top-end defensive forwards. But because of their issues as a whole, as a group, that were a lot of the time stemming from goaltending and defense, they get a rep for being really poor in their own end. And I think Matthews has shed a lot of that because of the Four Nations and just he's a little more out there. He's an American kid. He's shed a little more of that reputation. Marner still carries all of that.
We do this in sports, though. I mean, we take these great players that have great regular seasons and we snap judge them broadly from a 7, 11, 12 game sample size in the playoffs when these teams are on national TV and everyone's watching. Like, it's what they do to Josh Allen. Josh Allen has a reputation that he doesn't perform in the playoffs.
Right.
And he has the best numbers ever.
Right.
But he's not a playoff performer. He's not clutch. Like, it's what we do in sports. So, yeah, like, to me, the Marner idea is always more about, and will always be, to me, it doesn't have to be to everybody else, at least a sign that they're serious, because the last time they acted serious was Taylor Hall.
Which was a one-year, $8 million deal.
I mean, that was the last time they acted serious.
I had somebody write to me yesterday and say, maybe they'll do it like they did for Taylor Hall. Because, you know, the blue and gold, beyond blue and gold, there's the owner saying, like, well, this means we're going to try and win the Stanley Cup, right? Which, okay. But that was a one-year, $8 million investment. Marner would be, what, 7 years?
Probably.
Math here.
A lot.
$98 million? It's a big investment.
It's not my money. I don't care.
That's
like,
right.
I just don't. Like, whatever the number is, who cares? Like, they got to spend the we got to get to a point where this team is spending to the cap. I mean, they, to me, act like you're trying half as hard as Las Vegas, half as hard as some of these teams that are, I mean, doing just cart, like, they're doing everything they can to bend, to spend as much as they possibly can. And the Sabres, you know, just deny the fact that there's not some internal cap that does clearly exist because they don't spend to the cap. Spend it.
Yeah. And we're about to find out what that internal cap might be as the cap in the NHL goes up considerably in the next 2-3 years. 803-0550 on Marner, on the Sabres. Is anyone alive out there? A little scene from Titanic. Marner has an idea. We'll keep talking about it. The Mario conversation, you know, the Bills drought versus the Sabres drought. And if they want to be a real team, I think they'd go for this. We'll get a couple calls in, hang out with you here on this chilly Monday morning. Jeremy and Nate. Nate's in for Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe, and Nate is in. Owen Parker here. Josh Schmidt here producing. It's chilly Tuesday, and the NHL playoffs resume tonight. Jump in here on WGR.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Marner, from what I've read and been told and heard, pretty much a prodigy growing up. There's a 10-year-old Mitch Marner out there that if somebody told him, you're going to go on to be drafted in the top five by your favorite team, your hometown team, you're going to go on to become one of the best offensive players the Maple Leafs have ever had. You're going to have 99-point season, you're going to have 100-point season, you're going to... In an interview, say we're pretty much gods in this city. Like, a lot of what you ever dreamt of came true, and it ended with you being booed every time you touched the puck in your last game as a Maple Leaf.
So you want to be a professional athlete, right? Man, does that ever drive it home that Ryan Whitney on the Spit and Chicklets podcast scapegoated, and you know, maybe justifiably in terms of the production in the playoffs for Mitch Marner. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's out this week. He's on vacation. Nate is in today. And we're talking about Mitch Marner and the idea with the Sabres. The question is, which would be the bigger shock? One of them happened. Mario Williams signs with the Bills or Mitch Marner to the Sabres. So, yeah. If you want to chew that around with us, chew that around. Chew on that with us.
Chew on it.
Whatever you're going for. Yeah, if you want that with us, we can talk about it here. Marner is an unrestricted free agent. The Sabres, if they wanted to be a, you know, a potential suitor, they could call his agent. They could shoot big and offer him the moon. He is from the area. He is what, going to go as far away as possible? He's going to get away from Toronto. Who knows? But yeah, a top five pick. Oh, my microphone's in the way. Sorry, a top five pick and. An incredible career.
A very, very good career that probably, like, I just, like, even the way they were on Spit and Chicklets kind of talking about him, it is the Nylander thing all over again.
Yeah, Nylander was, it was 1 year it was his turn to be in the Cyclone.
Yes.
And it really is their entire core four, and they're not going to get rid of Matthews.
No,
and I don't think they blame Tavares as much because he's older.
Yep.
And Nylander, I guess, wasn't really in it. It's Marner this time. It's Marner. I mean, Matthews scored a goal in Game 6. It was pretty important. You know, whatever. All right, 803-0550 on the Sabres and Mitch Marner as an idea. Again, went through the numbers. The last time they had a player who scored 100 points was 1993. Tage got to 94 a couple years ago. And the idea of having, like, another Tage-level player, I think that's good.
Yes.
I'm of the opinion that would be a good thing. It would also be good to have a player that is that good that's in net and not be let down by whoever is in net for them, which has been a consistent thing that has also happened throughout this process.
I do think, unless this changed, the objective is to score more than the other opponent.
True.
I don't think that's changed.
Let's get to Larry in South Florida. Hey, Larry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, yesterday I was a caller just before the break, and then you brought up my Marner. I wanted Marner with Paul, and Paul basically shot it down, said he'd rather have Bennett and Marchand. I'd love to have Bennett, but I would take Marner in a millisecond. Here's why. Let's look at the Bills for a second. Remember when Bean came on and was pretty angry at you for absolutely no reason?
It rings a bell.
Yeah. So, oh, we had so much offense, blah, blah, blah. Your defense was not good. But take a guess. Let's say a top-tier wide receiver comes off his contract and says, you know what? I mean, obviously not a Justin Jefferson type of player, but really close. So let's just dream Justin Jefferson. And he says, I want to play for Josh Allen. I want to get this team to the Super Bowl. I know I can stretch a field. I'll catch everything he throws my way. Are you going to say no because he's not good on defense? Because in my opinion, like you just said, Nate, you've got to score more goals than the other team. Marner is going to help us score more goals. And think of the assists he's going to get with Tage and think of what it's going to do for Tage. I gather Tage will stop going through those long droughts that he went through and maybe get 50. So there's no way I'm going to say no to that. And I don't care what it costs him. Like you said, you have to spend the money. Spend the money, roll the dice. Because look, if Marner can get us in the playoffs, aren't we all happy? It's been 14 years in the easiest league in the world to make the playoffs, and it's been 14 years. And one real quick thing. Can either one of you guys beat Brian Koziel in a round of 18?
Me? No.
I'd have to have a good day, and Brian would have to have a bad day.
Okay. Yeah, I can't.
If he was at my course and... Yeah, he just had an off day.
Yeah.
I'd have to have the on one.
He's automatic. He's like a machine.
He is very machine-like.
He's a machine out there. So the Sabres finished 10th in scoring this last season, right? Here's a question for everybody out there. This is again, as you bring up the Josh Allen point versus the Sabres. So last year in scoring, you want to say the Sabres don't have a problem scoring goals? You're not wrong. In this last season, Tampa, Washington, Winnipeg, Dallas, Colorado, Vegas, Columbus, Buffalo. They finished 8th in goals. Where did they finish the year before in goals? 22nd. They don't have this Josh Allen to cement them as a top 5 scoring team. The Bills do have that. If you know, Larry, you mentioned the point about being in receivers. He has a leg to stand on, of course. Two legs to stand on. I might not disagree that it's the ideal way to do it, but he's got points to make that we have a baseline. And we've talked about it before. If the Bills ever drop to like the 15th ranked offense, it would be time to fire people.
Yes.
Josh Allen should be rocking a top 5 offense all the time. But the Sabres last year had a very good offensive year and should not stand still on that. Again, you don't have to tell me Marner is unlikely, but if he was open to it, they should... If they walk into their own meetings and say, well, I'm not going to do that because we finished 8th in scoring last year, then, like, fold up shop. What do you have as the Sabres that indicates you're going to stay there? If anything, what they have is Tage, who's consistent, Dahlin, who's consistent, Tuck is pretty consistent, right? I'll go with him, too. And then after that, who do you count on? Paterka and Quinn, we've watched them in their young careers kind of go through ups and downs and... Some of their players they were counting on went through long stretches where they weren't able to score enough. They were not a great scoring team 2 years ago. 3 years ago with Granado, they were playing, you know, fire wagon hockey, and that was fun. They were third in scoring. And what did they do? They missed the playoffs by a point.
Mm-hmm. And then they took a huge dip in scoring the next year.
And there's a case to be made here, of course, when you are number 3 in scoring and miss the playoffs by a point. Last year, they're number 8 in scoring, and they missed by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So do they need help on defense? Yeah. But the closest they ever got during the drought was the year they scored the most.
Yes.
If they were, and I know this might be ridiculous to think about, first in scoring, could they possibly miss? Maybe they're the 7 seed, and it's fire wagon hockey, and every game is 6-5, but they make it, and we sit there and say, like, oh, yeah, their defense is no good. Maybe they're the Bengals, right? That's the Bengals. They've had a great offense, and their defense lets them down. I don't mean to make constant NFL to NHL comparisons, but the closest they ever got was the team that scored 296 goals. They finished 20th in the league with the third-ranked offense, but missed the playoffs by like a point. Just saying, I think it's okay for some, for if I ran a sports team, which I don't, and many of you are very happy that I don't, and that's okay. But I wouldn't always think, well, I'm too good at this and not good at this. So what I should do is stop being so good at the thing I'm good at.
Right.
I would not think that that's a reasonable thing to do. I might more so think the thing to do is to lean further into what I'm great at.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'll try to bring the other stuff along too, but I'm going to lean into scoring a lot of goals. If they're eighth this year, and I would say, all right, let's try to bring our defense along, but also try to get the top five in scoring. 803-0550. Greg on a cell phone. Hey, Greg, what's up?
I like your – I don't like your theory. I love the idea of Mitch Marner, right? He's a damn good hockey player, but here's the problem. He doesn't play defense. And that's the problem with the Leafs. They've leaned into what they're good at. They're a great offensive team. They are a great scoring team. How many playoff series have they won in the last 9 years?
Two.
Because they don't have defense. They don't have very good goaltending. It's just not sustainable in – when it comes time, regular season, you're a god with the scoring because nobody's really playing defense. When you get to crunch time, when you get to the playoffs, when you get to the real season, that's when real hockey begins. That's when the game tightens up. It becomes physical. It becomes defensive. And if you're an offensive team and you can't play D, you're going to get bounced in the first round in heartbreaking fashion every single year.
I guess I would say to that. Thanks, Greg. I guess I would say to that, a lot of good offensive teams make the playoffs. Only the Leafs get categorized as proving you can't win that way. Colorado won the Stanley Cup. And along the way to winning it, there were conversations on NHL Network and ESPN. Can they win like this? 6-4? Can you win a cup like that? It's like game one of the finals. Can you win like this? Sure. What's Edmonton? Is Edmonton some sort of elite defensive team? Do I have some goalie that is incredible this year?
No.
I mean, can you – and again, I guess it kind of gets down to, are we looking for the perfect build or are we looking for the hockey team in town to just put a product on the ice that finishes in the top 16 in the NHL for the first time in a decade and a half?
He, again, is also a very good PK player. He doesn't just not play defense. I think that's probably the first thing we just have to acknowledge when in this conversation, because it feels a little disingenuous when you're just saying he's only an offensive player, doesn't play defense. I mean, a little, right?
Right. Edmonton on, like, if we just do goal differential, we can do that. Edmonton on goal differential was a plus 23 this year. They gave up 236 goals. To the Sabres, or 289. They gave up 53 fewer goals than the Sabres did. I don't really need to latch on to this point too much. And the Sabres scored 10 more than Edmonton. They didn't have a goaltender. I don't know. The pursuit of a perfect team, is it hurting the Sabres here?
And again, are they pursuing a perfect team?
And again, like the numbers on Marner defensively, he is not a bad defensive player.
No.
He is not a bad defensive player at all. In the playoffs, they lost Game 7. Again, they've lost a lot of Game 7s.
Yes, they have.
A lot of them. Anyway, they're up 2-0 in the series. And lost. They were up 2-0 in the series, and in Game 3 had a breakaway in overtime?
Mm-hmm. Could have very well went another way.
The pursuit of the perfect team. Sometimes it's just, you know, stuff. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. I'm thinking about a lot of other teams for this. You know, the pursuit of balance. The pursuit of, well, what about that team? You know, one team... This all sounds like a conversation about receivers. When's the last number one receiver to win a Super Bowl before A.J. Brown? You would have said that. Like, well, the Chiefs did it without one. And Brandon Bean likes to point to, and he's not wrong to point out, these teams won a lot. Brady and Gronk and Kelce and Mahomes. But a lot of the other teams that were right there with them, who are good teams, are built in different ways. So, like, the Leafs are some sort of horrific cautionary tale. Imagine a Sabres fan telling a Leaf fan, boy, let me tell you about the flaws in your build. I've got to tell you about the flaws in your build.
Yeah, all right.
I can see it from where I live. I can see you're flawed. I'm sorry, who are you? You're from where? The Sabres are telling me about my team's flaws? I get it. 803-0550. Thanks, Greg, for the phone call. 1-888-550-2550 to join us. There'll be NFL rules conversations today. We'll dig into that. We've got the proposals are out. The votes on the Packers' proposal to ban the tush push and the Lions' proposal to reseed playoff teams, they are not expected until Wednesday. So tomorrow, we likely get those votes. We'll get you the language of that. Then there's the flag football conversation. The NFL voting to send players to flag football. That's a vote that's today. We'll get you what Adam Schefter expects. Will that be approved or denied when we get back?
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
So Adam Schefter has tweeted out about the flag football Olympics story. ESPN sources, a vote to allow NFL players to participate in flag football for the first time during the 2028 Summer Olympics in LA is expected to pass at today's league meeting. Nothing is official yet, but as one source said about today's vote, Olympics should be easy. So the NFL players
I don't get that.
Will be allowed to go play flag football in the Olympics.
I don't get it.
Well, we've got a break. We can talk about this on the other side. The short version is globalize the game.
Sure.
Let other teams and other countries compete against Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Without having to play actual football, play flag football.
It's not watching Lamar Jackson play against Argentina
in flag football.
I'm good. I think it's the dumbest idea there is.
We'll do more of this.
This is very dumb.
How about the flag football world that thinks that there's no guarantee that NFL players would make the teams?
I think that's kind of funny.
I also think that's kind of funny. But you've got the Team USA flag football quarterback. I think his name is Doucette. He's got a nickname. I'll get the full name. Like Daryl Doucette said, it's disrespectful for these players to. Yeah, it is.
Doucette.
Yeah. I'm gonna make you watch a highlight of Daryl Doucette and
sure.
Let you decide if you think this guy is gonna get beaten out by Lamar. He's making moves. Oh man, you're gonna watch this highlight. All right, we'll get to that. Mitch Marner to the Sabres as an idea. How would it compare to Mario Williams, which shocked us all. Mario to the Bills was like our own Gretzky was traded moment. Hey, they got Mario.
If it could happen to us.
If it could happen. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, Nate's in for Joe today. Joe's out this week. Nate's in again today. You can join us, and we'll get you the latest on this flag football story, what it all means, and I hope you're ready for the debate shows to build flag football rosters. And I'm going to make Nate do it, too. You're going to build a flag football roster. I'm going to make you do it.
Yay.
LaVisca Chenault.
Oh, jeez.
Well, why? Let's start right there.
Brandon Codrington, he's on it.
All right, we'll get a break in. 803-0550 on WGR.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.